Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who with all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise and forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
All right. Stay standing. Turn to someone next to you. Give them a hug. Give them a handshake. Greet one another. That's your duty.
I'll come back and show you.
It's hot.
You gotta wear a jacket.
You're an idiot.
Okay.
I'm Chris. How are you? What's up, Dewey? Good, good to see you. Uh-oh, better watch that one.
What's up?
I'm sorry.
You good?
Your cup
didn't run us over.
We're all good. We're all good. Oh, now we're not. Is the next?
Okay. I want to encourage everyone to make their way back to their seats. We'll have plenty of time to continue visiting after service over a great meal. I just want to welcome everyone here today. We are very glad that everyone is here. Next slide, please. I think I have a verse I want to read to you. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And that is what we are about here. We want to come together. We want to learn how Jesus loved. And then we want to be a church and a body and an individual that loves everyone. And that is evident to everyone we interact with. Let's have an opening prayer and then we'll continue our worship. Father God, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for this time that we have to gather together. We're thankful that you are here and that you are present with us. And we just pray that all that we do this morning is pleasing in your sight, and that our songs of praise are received well, and that we take what we learned today and we apply it to our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, guys, I think I'm too excited for y'all to sit down. So if y'all don't mind standing for, I'll just have one more song and then we'll sit for the final two songs before communion.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, You can move the mountains. Lord, You are mighty to save. You are mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, You rose and conquered the grave. Yes, You conquered the grave.
Please be seated.
the splendor of a king. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry. Answer by and by,
and feel
a little prayerful yearning
as your
heart unto heaven is turning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus, makes it right. Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a little cloud of doubt may hide the day. The mists of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now
have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry. Answer by and by. Feel a little prayer for yearning
as your
heart unto heaven is turning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. And now slower. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayerful yearning
as your
heart unto heaven is turning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Good morning. We now come to the part of the service that has to do with the Lord's Supper or communion. Is there anyone who does not have a cup of the emblems? Okay. In preparing our mind for the Lord's Supper today, I'd like to consider something that I find truly amazing. Let's go with Galatians chapter 4 and read 4 through 7 to begin with. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The statement in there, fullness of time, it's not something we usually say. To me and to others, it's kind of an amazing point in our human existence. What does fullness of time mean? Well, it means that there are conditions and prophecies that occurred up to that point in time that God decided to send Jesus here on earth. Prophecies? Well, there are over 300 prophecies in the New Testament. And all those, they came about over thousands of years, and that they came to be prevalent and we know fulfilled. But then even more so, the conditions. Why were the conditions so right at that particular time for Jesus to come to this earth? Well, first off, there was the Pax Romana. That, of course, was the peace that the Empire of Rome imparted by having an empire. You could travel from one country to another without having passports as we know today, and in relative ease and safety. There were Roman roads. These roads are still in existence today. You can go to Italy, France, Great Britain, see these. Still in existence. Roads that were made to have lasted centuries. And they allowed travel to occur from one place to another very easily. Also at that time, there was the Greek language. The Greek language was a basic trade language at that time. It enabled one person to talk to another one across the empire. And the Romans at that particular time were ones who valued very much so knowledge. And a lot of written knowledge was written down at that time. A lot of histories such as Julius Caesar's and some of the other big names at that time that wrote histories. And so it was a very good time to have a written word written down that could be passed from one to the other. The Jews at that time were subjugated by Rome. They were looking for a Messiah. It made it very easy at that particular time. They were ripe for the gospel to come at that time. So all these things point to the time that when Jesus came to the earth. He came to the earth. God, of course, sent him to us so that we could have the means to repent, be baptized for our sins, and to have a home in heaven by following his commandments as we do. One of these commandments, of course, is for us to remember him. And if you look across the Gospels, you see many times that on the night of his betrayal that it was discussed on how the Lord's Supper was actually instituted by Jesus using those emblems that we use today. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians how to do this, and as by tradition, we do this on the first day of the week, and we remember our Christ and Savior, what he did for us, so that he did this for you, each and every one of us here today, so that we may have a home in heaven one day. If you look at John chapter 6, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So, if you would, bow with me as we pray and ask a blessing for the bread. Thank you, O God, for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for the remission of our sins. We pray, Lord, that we may keep our minds on the cross and the many things that Jesus did on this earth, and especially that he gave his life for each and every one of us here. We pray, Lord, that we may partake of this bread in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Likewise, bow with me for the fruit of the vine. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming for this earth to shed your blood on the cross for the remission of our sins. We're mindful of the spear that pierced your side and the blood that came from it. We pray, Lord, that we may partake of this fruit of the vine in remembrance of your sacrifice on the cross for us. We pray, Lord, that we may do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper, and as a matter of convenience, this gives us the opportunity to lay by in store. Church has made it convenient for us to also give not only online, but also there's a tray as you exit that you can also give so that we can further the work not only here in Charleston, but around the world. If you would, bow with me as we offer thanks for the offering. Thank you, Lord, for the many means that you give us each and every day, our shelter, our clothing, our food that you give us. We're mindful, Lord, that these all come from you. And we pray, Lord, we may give back to you cheerfully in a manner that is pleasing to you. We pray, Lord, that these things that we give back, that they may be used to further your word, not only here in the valley, but also around the world. We pray, Lord, that we may do so in a manner that is very pleasing to you. In Jesus' most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
All right, if you are the age 2 through 7th grade, we have a time for you back that way. If you are this small, follow other people that are this small. That's a good rule. Let's sing them out. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I love that this church is now like Swiss cheese with all the kids that left. I think it's kind of cool. We have a lot of kids. It's good. All right, let's stand and sing this one song before Steve comes up and blesses us. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me.
From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Please sit down.
Well, I am very glad to speak to you today on Friends Day here at the Kanawha City Church. We really have looked forward to this for quite a while, actually. When I first came to speak here, Chris and I began talking about having a Friends Day back when it was still snowing, I believe. So we've been looking forward to this, and we're glad that you're here. I want you to know, especially if you've come here as a friend of someone, that just your being here is what we're asking. This is not a manipulative thing. We're not going to ask you to sign up and commit your life here, and we're not going to ask for your money or anything like that. We're just glad you're here. We just want to celebrate the fact that you're in our lives, and we're glad that you're going to share a meal with us. That's what we're going to ask you to do. We're going to ask you whenever we're done to share a meal with us. That's the big ask, okay? But other than that, everything that we're going to talk about is an invitation, not an obligation. It's just some things that we want you to feel welcome to do. Wherever you are in your walk with God, I would hope that we could partner with you, wherever you are. And I really mean that. There's some people that they have not begun. They've got very basic questions like, is there a God? Who is Jesus? How is he related to God? Is the story of Jesus actually true, or is it a parable? I mean, very, very basic questions, and those are great. I enjoy talking about those questions. Other people have been around for a while, and they have perhaps got some questions that we might call deeper, although sometimes they're not. Sometimes what happens actually is after a while we start dealing in trivia and think that that's deep. Just because it's the sort of thing that people divide over. So I'm not going to label it deep questions or non-deep questions. Actually, some of the deepest questions are the first questions, as anyone who's ever taken a 101 course in college knows. Sometimes that 101 level is where you're really, really hitting some of the difficult things in that particular subject. And that could be where you are, wherever you are. There's a lot of people in the world today who, if you said to them, what's your religious conviction, they would say none. I just don't have any at all. But for those, if you're in that situation, I hope that you can come to realize that God has been calling you. Even in that situation, even when you're not looking for, God doesn't just call when we call on him. He calls us first. And so God's been calling. God's been guiding you. Maybe that's even why you're here today. I don't know. I'm not going to interpret that. I can't interpret the ways of God. But maybe that's why. Maybe there's something that God wants you to find here. And then there's some people that, you know, are kind of done. They've been hurt by Christians. They've been hurt by church. I'm here to testify. I am a former preacher. And, well, I guess I still am because I'm here. But it used to be the only thing I did, okay? And I'm here to tell you, church can be hurtful, not just to preachers. I saw churches where I was. Do terrible things to members, do terrible things to visitors, be incredibly insensitive, be incredibly unkind. Now, I'm not going to tell you the other side of it, but there's also a lot of stories about comfort and really giving and helping, and those things are true. But most people who are kind of done with church, they're not doing that because they've been overly blessed. They're doing that because they had one of those other experiences, which is real. Perhaps we could be a place, if that's where you are, somebody who has been hurt by church, perhaps we can be a place where you kind of catch your breath and where you kind of heal. I think that's a legitimate function for us. And maybe you wouldn't be with us very long. Maybe you'd just be with us long enough to kind of catch your breath again, get secure in Christ again, and be ready to move forward into whatever he calls you for. We're very happy to do that. Maybe you've been put off by a belief or a requirement that doesn't make sense to you. something that that you have been told, you've got to believe this or you can't be Christian. You've got to believe in this long list of things. We've got a way of doing that. Here at Kanawha City, we don't want to do that to you. We don't want to have a great big long list of extra things. And so if that's something that you've been put off by, or if you've been put off just by the fact that you have a lot of doubts and you have a lot of questions, truth of the matter is doubt is part of faith. Doubt is definitionally a part of faith. If you have faith in something, it means that you're dealing with that in the presence of your doubt. If you absolutely know for certainty, then you don't have faith. If I take an, I don't have anything small in my pocket, but if I had something very small in my pocket and I held it up to you like this, and I said, hey, I just pulled this out of my pocket. Now, I didn't, okay? This is not a trick. I did not. I didn't think to bring up a pen cap or anything like that. But just say I did. Say I brought a pen cap and I held it up and I said, I've got a pen cap in my hand. You saw me. I pulled it out of my pocket. I flipped it off of the pen. I held it in my hand. And I'm not lying to you because, you know, I'm in church, okay? So I'm not lying to you. I actually have a pen cap in my hand. Now, if I said to you, do you believe me, and you believed me, the ones who believed me would be showing faith because you don't actually know. I haven't proven it to you. And so you would have faith. You would be saying, I think he's a reliable person. What little evidence I have seen is consistent with that, and so I believe it, but you wouldn't have faith. And I could destroy everybody's faith, or a better word would be fulfill it, by opening up my hand and showing you the cap. Now, if you've seen the cap, you don't have to have faith anymore. You've got knowledge. You saw it. What happens a lot of times in churches is the truth of the matter is the way of faith is very hard, and we get uncomfortable with faith. We want to deal with certainty. We want to deal with knowledge. We want to act like there's no unanswered questions. We want to act like there's no situation in life that makes us say, I'm not sure. But quite honestly, that's the life of faith. It's going to put you in places where you say, I'm not sure. It's going to put you in places where you say, I'm kind of shaken here. You know, I'm kind of making my decision to follow God. But the truth of the matter is, I wish I could know with certainty. Well, that's not where we are in this life. God appoints us to come to him in faith. It is by faith that he wants us to be pleasing to him. And so perhaps you've been hurt by a place, quite honestly, that hurt your faith. That thought you didn't sound definite enough. The thought you showed too much uncertainty about things. And, you know, the thought you didn't know the answers that you ought to know. That can be very off-putting. Again, I understand that. I get it. And we really want to be a place that fosters and tolerates, if I can use that word, faith. The fact that doubt and questions are a part of it. Well, again, wherever you are in your walk with God, we'd like to partner with you. And wherever you are, whatever your status, wherever you find yourself now, I know three things about you. The first thing I know about you is you are created in God's image. No matter who your parents are, no matter what your nationality, your lineage, it doesn't matter. If you're a human being, you are created in God's image. And that means that our response to you is a response of respect and value. I value every single person who's created in God's image. No matter whether I agree with them or not, no matter whether they're Christian or not, quite honestly, they are still created in the image of God, and we respect and value everyone who's created in the image of God. The second thing I know about you is that you struggle with life. I know that because it's the human condition. We all struggle with life. Everybody hurts. If you're not in a situation right now that's very difficult, I don't want to frighten you, but you will be. Because that's just the nature of life. And our reaction, as we realize that here, our reaction is to react with compassion and empathy. We know what it's like to struggle. We know what it's like to have terrible things happen in our families. We know what it's like to be betrayed. We know what it's like to face physical illness. We know what it's like to lose friends, to lose jobs, to go bankrupt. Anything you want to talk about, we've experienced it. And we all struggle with life, and we know that. And so our reaction is empathy, you know, not like, that's weird. But instead, it's like, that's common. Not to say like you don't have unique things, but We all struggle with life. And then compassion. Jesus says when he saw the crowds, Matthew records that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, when we miss our mark as Christians, and I know sometimes we do, sometimes when we miss our mark, we see the crowds that are helpless and they're all messed up and we get angry with them. But Jesus' response when he sees how messed up people's lives is not to be angry at them, it's to have compassion on them. And as we become more Christ-like, that becomes our reaction more and more and more. When you watch those films of something that's happening someplace else, or when you watch the news and you see the way that humans hurt one another, and you see the ways that we even organize to hurt one another, you will be filled not with so much with anger as you are with compassion. Because that's the heart of Christ. So everybody struggles with life. Our reaction to that is we get it and we have compassion. We have compassion for people that struggle like that. The third thing, you're created in God's image, you struggle with life, and the third thing is you are dearly loved by God. I know that without question. You are dearly loved by God. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Again, we would do well as a church to model ourselves after God. The reaction to the world that is lost and on its way to eternal damnation is, again, not anger, not disgust, but love. And the stance of people who get the John 3:16, 17 attitude is not judgmental. It's not condemning. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. But to save the world, it's an openness and an attitude. It's empathetic. Now, I heard one time about a teacher who gave a test, and the test basically was this. The question was, you know, tell me about them. And you got these pictures up there, and if it's done well, you know, you don't know any of these people. I went out and gathered these pictures off the internet. Although one of them is my newborn granddaughter, and I'm not going to tell you which one, but... you know, one of them is her, and the rest of them are five more people that I don't know. So the question is, tell me about them. What do you know about these people? What do they have in common? Well, this is what they have in common. Every single one of them is created in God's image. And whenever I meet them, whenever I see them, I'm aware of that. That's somebody created in the image of God. Every single one of them struggles with life. My granddaughter doesn't struggle with life so much right now, although she's got a big problem with incontinence, you know, and she, her diet is rather boring. But, you know, as her life moves on, she's going to struggle with life. And I know that. I know she's going to struggle with life. I don't know what's going on in those other five people's lives, but I guarantee there's something that keeps them up at night. There's something that in their quiet moments they wish it was different. There's things in their past that they regret. There's things in the future that they fear. We all struggle with life, and I know that about those people. The third thing I know about those people is that they are each and every one of them dearly loved by God. That there's nothing God wouldn't do to save them. There's nothing God wouldn't do to bring them into a better relationship with him. Here at the Kanawha City Church, I want you to know that we are sold out for Jesus. We believe that he is the key to dealing with all of our problems. Again in Matthew, this is chapter 11, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's one of my very favorite passages where Jesus is expressing what he wants to do for us. It is not taking away all your problems. When you look at what Jesus says here, he's saying, I'm bringing you a yoke. And the yoke that he gives us is the way that we handle all our problems. So the problems that you have, the struggles that you have with life, that's where life is. That's earth. That's where we are. But if you're like me, and maybe in the past especially, if you're like me, you kind of try to do those things by yourself. You do a lot of research. You talk to some people. What's the things to do? You try to figure it all out. You carry the weight of it yourself. Even if you, at the bottom of that, you kind of say, you know, I'm trusting God to do this, but the truth of the matter is very hard to trust God, and we tend to do it ourselves, and we get all stressed out. I mean, does anybody know anybody in this culture that doesn't experience stress and anxiety? And that's what this verse is about. And why do we experience stress and anxiety? There's reasons. We're not just crazy. You know, there's reasons. Technology has increased the level at which we've got to do things. So much is expected of us at work now. A normal daily output is probably a week's worth of what our parents and grandparents would have to do, and maybe even more. And that's expected of us all the time. So we're stressed and we're anxious. And when you come to Jesus, he doesn't make that go away. He says, here's the way you deal with it. Here's how you deal with it. He gives us a yoke, and we're yoked with him. Now, yokes aren't something that we talk about a lot today, but just without a lot of detail, what it really means is that now Jesus is kind of pulling it with you. Now you're with him. So it's help. It's a burden divided in two because Jesus is carrying it with you. In fact, it's even more than divided by two because he's the stronger one in this yoke. And so we're yoked with him to continue to go on. All the problems still face us. They don't go away. So many of us understand Paul when he says, three times I begged the Lord to take this thorn in the flesh away from me. But his response was, my grace is sufficient for you, or my yoke is sufficient for you. I'm giving you a way through this. I'm giving you a way to battle through. It's not going to go away, but you're going to be able to deal with it. We are sold out that is the answer to any question that we have. Not that it removes all doubt, but that Jesus is the one that gives us the way forward. We view Jesus as a real historical figure, a real empirical fact, not just a convention or a choice. Like, well, you got your person that you worship, and I got my person that we worship, and what's really good is that, you know, everybody just kind of have somebody, you know. And if I really wanted to, perhaps I'd just invent the Church of Steve, and it would just affirm me in everything that I believe and everything that I want to do. We don't believe that. We actually believe that Jesus came to the earth, and that he literally walked this earth, and he literally died, and he literally rose again. Now, if you really believe that, that's not just a history lesson. That's not just a fact from the past. That actually is formative to us. So this belief about Jesus is not just a belief. It actually forms who we are. So if you believe in the cross, for example, then you become a cross-shaped person. You become somebody who imitates what Jesus did when he was on the cross. Paul, in one of his writings, which I'm actually preaching through right now in Galatians, but when we come to it towards the end of Galatians, he's going to say that the cross is the standard by which Christians measure themselves. Now, you may not have always heard that. You may not have thought, you know, if I ask in advance, you know, what's the standard that we measure ourselves by? I think a lot of times our typical answer is that it's the Bible. But the truth of the matter is the Bible is trying to tell us about the cross. And it's the cross that we measure ourselves by. So in this particular controversy I'm having with my boss, do I look more like the one who's dying on the cross and exhibiting love, or do I look more like the one who's willing to nail somebody to that cross, or more like the ones who are willing to surround that cross and jeer at him and make fun of him? Who is it that I look like in this controversy? The cross shapes me. The cross shapes who we are. Paul talks about, and others as well, talks about that the real goal of ministry is for Christ to be formed in you. It's not just to get an act, even a holy act. It's not just to get you baptized once or taking communion often. That's not enough. Those are steps to the journey to Christ being formed in you. What we want is to have a Christ-like character. We want to have the hope of glory that Christ has, that Christ brings. God loves you. So do we. We'd love to walk with you, even if it's just for a short while, even if it's just a time of encouragement. But remember, it's an invitation. Our attitude is always, it's an invitation. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his face towards you, turn his face towards you, and give you peace. Amen. We always sing an invitation song here at Kanawha City. It's an opportunity for people to continue their walk with God by responding in whatever way that they feel needs to be made publicly. I really prefer, if it's up to me, to talk to people one-on-one about where you stand, where you want to go next. But if you're ready and you want to make a public response, we encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul.
With my soul,
it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul.
Stay standing.
Just want to again tell you how glad we are that you're here today. We're going to close in prayer in just a moment. We're also going to go ahead and pray for the food. Please stay and eat. There's a bunch of good food back there. If you haven't had Meticulous Catering, you're in for a treat. They have great food. So please stay and eat, fellowship, and spend a few minutes visiting with us this morning. Let's go ahead and go to God in prayer. Father God, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the time that we had together this morning to come together as a body to celebrate Jesus and his love for us and for your love for us. And we thank you for the lesson that Steve brought this morning. And it is also true that we are all in different phases of our life and different walks with you right now. And we know that you are there for us, and that Jesus is there to help us get through all the struggles and the challenges that we have here on earth. And Father, we want to take this opportunity also now to thank you for the food that we have today. We thank you for the hands that prepared it, and we pray that you bless it to the nourishment of our body. Help us to have a good time the rest of this afternoon visiting and fellowshipping with one another. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.